Easter 2017 comes at a time when each new day brings new fears of escalating world and national turmoil. The world seems to be crumbling around us, and we wonder when it will all find a resolution beyond despair and a sense of hopelessness. Society itself seems to be at stake. To wake up every day with the challenge of facing even more dark news has affected countless lives across the world. It is during questionable times like these that we need to look beyond in order to celebrate the joy of the resurrection, the empty tomb. To hear John's report of his experiences on that early morning gives us the reassurance that the good news of He is risen rises above the despair and turmoil which we may now be experiencing. John's account of that morning seems to be dramatically different from that of the other Gospels. This is most likely because he was one of the few key players who actually experienced the empty tomb. He shared the experience with Peter and Mary Magdalene and the other two women who John does not name. It is again important to note that while other gospel writers most likely had second-hand knowledge or what they had heard from others, John wrote from his personal experience. That is why John's account is so much more personal. He was actually there and most likely had a strong relationship with Mary to find out the rest of the story. It was to Peter and the disciples whom Jesus loved that Mary Magdalene sought to tell that Jesus' tomb was open and the body of Jesus was missing. She surmised that someone had stolen the body, perhaps the Romans themselves. She said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb and we do not know where they have laid him." This statement gives indication that Mary was not alone upon the discovery, since she spoke in the plural. "We do not know where they have laid him." This would verify the other gospel accounts, which included two other women, Mary, the mother of James, and Salome. John would not have seen the other two women, since by the time he and Peter arrived at the tomb, they would have been gone. Therefore, John's dramatic story of that morning only involved Peter, Mary Magdalene, himself, and the resurrected Jesus. Upon hearing Mary's message, Peter and John went running to the tomb. John, most likely being the youngest, reached the tomb first. Bent over, looked into the open tomb, and saw the linen wrappings lying there. Then Peter arrived. And Peter, of course, went immediately into the tomb. There were the linen wrappings, the linen face napkins still there. It was as if the body had evaporated. It is important to note that if the body was taken by thieves or by the Romans, there would have been nothing left behind. That was what was so strange. So strange about the scene, and let the disciples so bewildered. But John also indicates that when he entered the tomb, he saw and believed. Believed what? Some commentators said he was the first to believe that Jesus had risen from the grave. But that doesn't fit, since he quickly follows that statement with, "For as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead." Therefore, I would think that what John meant by believing was that he believed Mary now, and Mary's initial message that someone had taken the body away. So here we have the mystery of the empty tomb. The women and Peter and John were the first to know something had happened to Jesus' body. But what did they know? Their best inclination would have been that the Romans took the body for safekeeping. After all, they and the Jewish authorities were fearful that the disciples would take the body and hide it so as to claim that he had mysteriously rose from the dead as an act of God. This would have been great propaganda to fuel a Jesus movement of rebellion. Now, seeing what Mary had said was true, though, the disciples went home not knowing what actually had happened. They only had their suspicions. Mary evidently had followed the disciples back to the tomb and remained there after they left. She seemed to need the time to reflect and to mourn. As a result, it was Mary who would be the first to know the truth. Now, as she wept outside the tomb, she again looked inside, hoping that all this was just a nightmare. And there she saw two angels. Two angels sitting where Jesus had laid. As if Jesus was still lying between them. One at the head, one at the feet. Woman, why are you weeping? They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him. Mary's distress was founded in the belief that to disturb a dead body was to violate the eternal peace of the deceased and of their ancestors. It was important to be within close proximity of the body, especially until its spirit left. Now, to the Jews, this would have been 3 days, or when the body was no longer recognizable by the spirit because of decay. This enhanced Mary's grief by not being in the midst of Jesus' spirit while there was possibly more time to be there. Her depth of crying left her vision blurry as a result of unending tears. When she turned and saw a blurry form of a man who, for all she knew, was the gardener, he said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for?" She was too emotional and tearful to recognize the form or at first the voice. "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." If this a new day seems bleak for Mary. The prospects to be dreadful and the celebration of Easter is muted. Then just think again. Just think how Mary must have felt. Nothing at all had gone right that first Easter morning. Nothing. It was all messed up. It was all wrong. Everything up until then was just a complete disaster. But then suddenly and dramatically that all changed when that form of a man answered, Mary. Immediately, Mary experienced the fact that God can change even the most dreadful situations into a joyful celebration. Upon hearing his name in all too familiar voice, that dreadful morning turned into joy, the joy of knowing that her friend and teacher was alive. A sudden relief came over her as she responded, Rabbi. That was not only a moment of relief and joy for Mary, but a moment of joy which would echo throughout history to all mankind and to us today. Just as the risen Christ called Mary by her name, he calls each of us by our name. It is when we answer, yes, Lord, that we begin to realize the good news, the message of God's love through the cross and the resurrection. It is the empty tomb which changes our lives from earthly despair, dismal days, and a hopeless future into a new life of hope, a new life of peace, a new life of joy. The resurrection gives a whole new perspective of life. A whole new way of living. A whole new perspective with the dawning of each new day. And the promise of an eternal future. There it is. Every new day we experience the risen Christ, which gives us the hope to share God's love with each other. And when we do this, we celebrate by saying, He is risen. He is risen indeed. Yes, Lord, I believe. Yes, Lord, I share this love which you have shown me through the empty tomb. He is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia.